This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress joins us every Monday afternoon for a discussion of public affairs and politics in the Commonwealth. Good afternoon, Bob.
Good afternoon. You know, the snow was very welcome at the Gibson household yesterday.
Was it really?
Oh, yeah.
Did the girls get out the sleds?
The girls are so happy not to be in school today. I can't say.
Our two kids were just at the window. They were dumbfounded. They were like, snow. The look on their face was like, oh my gosh, it's like somebody put a circus in the backyard.
Well, it's about time. I mean, we're in the middle of January. You'd think we'd get a little snow.
Yeah, absolutely. You are just back from Richmond. Of course, you're down there every day now with the General Assembly in session. The obvious thing that we want to talk about first, of course, is the Frank Hargrove comments. Delegate Frank Hargrove was quoted last week in an article that you wrote saying that African Americans need to get over slavery, and that he didn't agree with a proposed resolution that the state of Virginia, the General Assembly, apologize to its citizens for slavery and the hand that the government had in perpetuating slavery in Virginia. And of course, that was quite a get as a journalist to get those quotes, which sparked internationally covered controversy here in Virginia.
Well, it's still going on down in Richmond. Frank Hargrove, who's a longtime delegate, 25 years now, from Hanover County, north of Richmond, one of the Richmond suburbs, is speaking candidly and honestly the views of many, many Virginians, who feel that slavery is not something the state should be apologizing for. What's the good? And then there are other people who say, well, if we're going to put this behind us, we should understand it, and we should discuss it, and we should understand what the state did that hurt people and get beyond that.
Yeah. I noticed in the column, in your commentary yesterday in the Progress, you pointed out the suggestion that some folks have made to have some type of statewide open conference with legislators and scholars and
citizens.
That was
a very good suggestion, I thought, from Henry Wensick, who is a local author. He's written several books about slavery, one about the Hairstons or the Harstons, the largest slave-owning family, and also the largest family of slaves, black slaves, former slaves who call themselves Hairstons, and the white slave-owning family who called themselves Harstons. They owned tens of thousands of slaves in Virginia, North Carolina, as far as Mississippi during the 1900s. And the effects of slavery are something that we're living with today.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. A lot of folks think that this was something that happened just a long time ago, but slavery may not be alive and well in the Commonwealth anymore, but it certainly is alive and well in the world today. I mean, today someone will be sold into slavery today somewhere in the world.
Yeah, it's still ongoing in countries around the world.
Yeah, and as you point out, the effects of slavery here in the Commonwealth still linger today. I mean, they didn't end with the civil rights movement in the 60s. They still exist today.
Well, this is something that these resolutions, and there was another one. Frank Hargrove took the floor of the House today, and he said, I would like to ask unanimous consent of the House of Delegates to introduce a new resolution. And they gave him that unanimous consent, and he introduced a resolution that was proposed to him by a black Baptist minister in Belzoni, Mississippi, named the Reverend Ronald V. Myers. And Ronald Myers had called up Frank after my story had broken last week and had said, why don't we do something positive? Why don't you put in a resolution, as we've had passed here in Mississippi, to celebrate the end of slavery, Juneteenth, June 19th, 1865, when slavery went out of existence. We can positively celebrate the end of slavery. So Frank Hargrove put that resolution in today. And the black delegates on the floor of the House and other Democrats who support the resolution to apologize for slavery said, that's good. Let's have a discussion. Let's have a broader-based discussion than just the one that was put in last week. Let's have a discussion with this resolution as well, as long as it doesn't substitute for the resolution that's an apology. What the House of Delegates is likely to do, I think, next week, is change the wording of the resolution of Donald McEachin's resolution so that it isn't an apology for slavery, but becomes an expression of profound regret for the state having had the institution of slavery.
You think both sides could get on the same page with that change in wording?
I don't know if everybody's going to be happy with that. I think this is something that's going to be with us through the session. The Senate will probably pass the apology. The House will probably pass an expression of profound regret. And then we'll have a discussion. But I think Henry Winsick, who also wrote about General George Washington, President Washington's slaves, you know, Washington at the end of his life came to free his slaves and saw the harmful effects on families, on the black families that that slavery was perpetrating. So he wants to have this state conference down in Williamsburg sometime later this year, very appropriately on the 400th anniversary of the founding of our Commonwealth.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it makes a lot of sense. And it's a discussion that I don't think you can, I don't agree with the get over it thing. And I think a lot of people don't.
A lot of people wish that people could get over it, but it's not that easy. I mean, it's easy to say get over it if you haven't suffered any of the effects.
Right, right. And it's really hard for a lot of people, especially of African American descent, to know that members of your family were bought and sold and know that there was just severe, unbelievable tragedies as families were separated and children removed from their parents.
You know, many similar things happened during the Holocaust in the past century. Would you think that it would be appropriate to tell a Jewish friend, you know, get over the Holocaust? Of course not.
Right, right. And then it, along those same lines, it's very appropriate that we always see conferences about the Holocaust and people having a discussion about
it. We can't deny it. We can't allow people to deny it, and we can't forget it.
Yeah. So where do you think Hargrove's legislation will go, the Juneteenth?
That'll go to the same House Rules Committee that's considering Don McEachin's apology resolution, the apology for slavery. And they may be brought up and considered at the same time. I think both will pass in some form. And I think an encouraging dialogue is developing. I don't think it's just going to be, you know, people's initial reactions, emotional as they have been, to the words that have been said so far. I think there will be more of a discussion and understanding of the state's history.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress, our guest, talking about the Frank Hargrove very controversial remarks made last week, quoted in the Daily Progress. Let's return to our discussion with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. Bob, the big news last week besides Hargrove was the fact that there actually looked like there was some agreement about transportation, which you've pointed out many times. Hey, this is an election year. They're going to figure out something. They have to go back home with some kind of package.
It's kind of fragile still. It was a Republican deal that was put together by Republican delegates and Republican senators who last year had barely talked to each other about transportation. So it's interesting. They've gotten beyond that. They've started talking to each other. They've come up with a package of local taxes for Hampton Roads localities and for localities in Northern Virginia. The commercial real estate tax is surprisingly in each package. And that's going to cause some sticking resentment and resistance in Hampton Roads, I'm afraid. This is no means a done deal. This is a very fragile package the Republicans have put together because it includes a lot of local taxes, and then the localities don't get to spend the money. You know, it's a regional authority that gets to spend the money on improving transportation in the particular two regions that have this local taxing authority from a whole host of local taxes and fees.
And there's also the selling of bonds is in the deal as well.
Well, there is a statewide component. A lot of people are wondering how large it is, you know, whether it's going to really make a dent in the state's needs and whether borrowing is the way to go. They're going to borrow $2 billion and whether taking $250 million a year out of the state's general fund, which funds education and law enforcement, is the way to go to pay for that borrowing. So, you know, it's still being worked out, and I doubt what passes will be what is on the table today.
Yeah, interesting. You and I both were at the press conference last week, Friday afternoon, when the governor went before the gaggle of cameras and
reporters. We call that a scrum.
A scrum, okay.
Yeah.
and he said, look, you know, I haven't really seen the details, but I'm excited about the fact that they have something that we can work with.
Well, the Democrats don't want to get into the position of saying, no, we're blocking this. We think this is inadequate. They want to get in the position of, as one reporter put it today, drawing the charging foul. They want to put their body in the paint, you know, in the right position. And if the Republicans charge and get called for a foul, They don't want to be the people charged with the foul. So they've put themselves in a position of saying, we accept the fact that you guys are talking to each other and you've worked out a package. Now let's really work out the details of this package so that it works for the state.
We have some delegates and senators who last year were very anti-tax and said, we don't want an increase in taxes or fees to be part of this problem. And they were just adamant about that last year, to the end result that nothing happened. No legislation got through at all. This year, some of those same folks have flip-flopped and said, well, you know what, we want an increase in taxes and fees to be part of this solution, which is what the governor was saying the whole time last year.
Well, except the governor last year proposed more in the way of statewide fee and tax increases, whereas the Republican compromise that came out last Thursday afternoon is really allowing the localities to tax themselves in two regions of the state, and doesn't do as much statewide.
So there would be like a Hampton Roads tax, and you're saying
right.
that there...
any locality in Hampton Roads could opt in or not opt in, and you know, put various fees in place and tolls and taxes in that region. And you know, one of them is commercial real estate, which would add, you know, 10 cents or more, 30 cents to the on the dollar, on the $100.
Wow, that's big.
On the $100. It's one of their larger revenue generators in this regional package, commercial real estate. So I think that's going to be one of the sticking points.
Bob Gibson, our guest of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. Wasn't there a referendum recently in those areas? And the folks said, we don't want a regional taxing authority. We don't want local taxes to be increased to pay for
the
stuff.
The referendum 4 years ago went down in flames in each locality, in each of those two regions. Northern Virginia voted it down 55-45, and Tidewater voted it down. Hampton Roads voted it down 62-38. So the taxes that are being proposed are not popular, and the compromise that's been put forward is very fragile.
Now, how will this affect folks in our area in Central Virginia? They're not talking about a Central Virginia taxing authority. We're not really part of that Hampton Roads or Northern Virginia mix of
no,
new
we're
taxes.
Not. We're not. Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads get the bulk of the new money, the bulk of the road building. The rest of the state is looking at this package and going, what's in it for us? You know, what if we allow Northern Virginia to take care of its needs and Hampton Roads to take care of its needs? You know, who takes care of the transportation needs outside of those two regions? And there are a lot of delegates and senators who are looking at this somewhat skeptically outside of Northern Virginia and Tidewater.
So that news, that process will certainly continue, and we'll keep you updated on that. In other news, House Resolution 48, Kim Plum's bill, was killed. And I was actually down there on Friday to watch that happen and admit being a little depressed about that. I was sitting next to Frosty Landon, of all people,
the Coalition of Open Government.
Mr. Sunshine, and he was not surprised. He really expected this bill to go down on party lines, where the Republicans would insist that they do not want recorded votes in subcommittee. They don't want their constituents knowing how they're voting.
And the rationale that was cited on the floor of the House by the Republicans who killed this rules change, this proposal, was, well, look, we were terribly treated when we were in the minority, and we're treating you all better than we were treated when we were minority Republicans back in the last century. They didn't really address the issue on its merits.
No, they sort of danced around the whole point of, wait a minute, you should record your votes as an elected representative in a democracy. People should know how you're voting. And they responded to everything but that.
Yeah, they defend the efficiency of Rule 18, which was adopted last year in the House of Delegates, because it is more efficient. It allows bills to be disposed of at the subcommittee level and not even brought up in committee, which is, you know, it's more efficient. But it isn't, it wouldn't be that hard to allow recorded votes in subcommittees and to put them on the record.
As Kim Plum pointed out on this program a couple of weeks ago, there's already a clerk sitting there at the table. And this, basically, the Republicans have told that person, you can't write down how we're voting.
And the Democrats, interestingly, I learned last week, have started taking digital cameras to the subcommittees. And many of these subcommittees are now, you know, this is one of the unintended consequences of Rule 18. The Democrats are taking cameras and recording what everybody says and how everybody votes on bills in these subcommittees. So we do have a record that we can look up if the digital cameras have been turned on in that particular subcommittee. There are a lot of subcommittees down there, and they're not all being recorded.
Boy, you talk about the media revolution and citizen journalists. That's huge. I mean, that the legislators can't control the information that's going out.
Well, they're open meetings, and they haven't banned cameras.
Yeah, and there is some discussion. Steve Lanzas has a bill, and Dave England has a bill to bring cameras into the House of Delegates, which is new.
Eventually, they'll be that. I mean, we have cameras now, but it's an in-house system that you can watch.
But you have to go down to Richmond.
You have to be down there to watch it.
what's the status, Bob Gibson, our guest, the status with redistricting bills? There were a whole bunch of proposals to sort of fix this convoluted and really corrupted system whereby our legislators can pick their voters instead of the other way around.
Well, redistricting has always been one of the most partisan things that happens in the General Assembly. And if one party has a majority in the House, a majority in the State Senate, and a governor, that party does and can do what it wants when it comes to redrawing the lines. And because the computer programming is so much better, you can draw districts that pretty much tailor themselves to reelecting those incumbents that are there, and they do that. They do that very efficiently.
They can literally pick their voters for the next election, house by house, street by street.
Sure, and they do that. Unfortunately, the party in power doesn't choose to give up that power, so the Republicans killed all six bills that were pending in the House Privileges and Elections Committee last Friday morning. They didn't give them much debate. They just voted them down. And there's one more bill, Senator Cree Deeds, the senator who is from Bath County, the Democrat who represents the Charlottesville and most of Albemarle area, has a bill in that has gotten out of Senate P&E and is now on the Senate floor. It was to be considered today, but it went by for the day, so it'll probably be considered tomorrow on the floor of the Senate. That will come over to the same House committee that
killed all the others.
So no one has a great deal of hope left for this bill, but Creed's got farther with it this year than it's gotten before.
Yeah, that's surprising.
You know, Republicans are not sure who's going to be in the majority in both houses and in the governor's mansion in 2011, the next time they get a chance to redistrict. So there are some Republicans going, well, maybe we ought to look at a redistricting compromise. But I think the most likely compromise is to have a majority of one party in one house and a majority of the other party in the other house and, you know, a governor of a different party sitting from at least one of the houses in the legislature.
Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress joins us every Monday for a discussion of public affairs here in the Commonwealth. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at cvillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.